The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for joining Manx Radio. It's Wednesday lunchtime. It's a filthy old day, but Man in Line is on. We'll try and bring some sweetness and light between now and 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68 to have your say. WhatsApp and text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, it was budget day yesterday and they're still debating it. Next Monday, Chris Thomas, MHK, is on Man in Line. The Treasury Minister will be on Man in Line next Monday. He's on breakfast tomorrow as well. So if you've got something ready to say, then you can prepare it. By the way, a week tomorrow, Thursday 26th, the Chief Constable's on. Russ Foster, Chief Constable of the Isle of Man Constabulary, will be on Manx Radio chatting about, well, all sorts of things. And a couple of messages in regarding the shortage of staff, the shortage of police in the and problem with recruiting. So that's something we'll be putting to the Chief Constable. He's mentioned it before. Let's get to the lines. Now, here's David with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Reference to the budget there, and those members of the House of Keys, and then two MLCs voting against the budget. Can I say to people there, they would have known the budget at least a week or 10 days before it came out privately, and they would have been able to ask questions directly to ministers, the Chief Minister, or anybody in the Parliament in private meetings that they do have. And I just wondered, when you listen to some of the comments were there yet the other day, there is, you can understand Hayward had the cold shoulder. Now she's not a minister anymore, and then a few of the other ones like the thing. But Sarah Maltby and Joni Fadiger, the Labour Party people there, why were they doing that? Why were they voting in a budget which actually give pensioners more money, and kept the triple lock? And I just couldn't understand.
Do you think that's a Manx Labour Party position, David?
Well, I don't know. I'm not in the party. Well, it was donkeys years ago, but that's another story. I don't know what their policy is, to tell you the truth, what they think. Did they consult with other people about that? They wouldn't have been able to let people know prior in advance, because that would breach a thing of security anyway on that. And Mr. Wallingberg, we're wanting the population of the Isle of Man wanting things to be done, aren't they? The likes of energy efficiency, things that are going to help us sustain ourselves for the future. How are we going to drag people to come to the Isle of Man and establish their businesses here? There was none of that, I don't think, in the budget, and it'll be interesting to see. And you've got to give credit to the old Treasury Minister and the new Treasury Minister. Really, at the end of the day, he had a month to get things sorted out, and he had a fair crack at it. He couldn't give us everything. And it's just to say to us, it's an electioneering budget. Not quite sure about that, because we didn't get everything, did we?
Well, that's it, and I mean, surely every budget's an electioneering budget, because everybody's conscious of the fact there's an election at some point. Everybody knows that. So
someone will have to go, won't they?
Yeah.
And the good thing was, we don't know the ins and outs of it. You can get, because remember that in the old days, the papers used to print a synopsis. I know Manx Radio has done a bit, but it's not all there to it. Because we need to find out, there's going to be an amount of money spent on education with down to the NSC. Now, what's that for? Is that for new equipment? Is it for new thing? Are we going to repair the pool again? We need a bit more detail. I'm sure it'll come out in the future. But at the end of the day, the ones that the MHKs and the other MLCs have voted for it, well done. At the end of the day, we were looking forward to something. We're not depressed. I don't think the Isle of Man people are depressed on it. At least we got something out of it. And the main thing, I think, anyway, the triple lock's still there. And he said that was fine.
Okay, all right.
I was going to say the Chief Minister rounded it off. He couldn't say everything, but if you listen to him anyway, it was a good speech. All right.
Okay, good to hear from you. Thanks, David. It's 10 past 12 now on Manx Radio. Man in line here. If you've got any comments regarding the budget yesterday, anything else, to be quite honest, you're more than welcome. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, how's it going there?
Well, you know...
it's just a moment. I've just got a letter from the Treasury about cashing in my pension. Now, they cancelled my card, but they give me a cheque and saying I can cash it at my nearest post office. Now, my nearest post office is next door to where I live, right out of Derby. Now, the choices of post office you got is Douglas, Castletown, Ramsey, Peel or Port Erin. Now, I live right next door to one, and I've got osteoarthritis. How am I meant to travel? They want me to travel into Ramsey to pick up. I don't go anywhere, pretty much. So I think it's just another way of forcing you into opening a bank account that I don't want. You know, this is ridiculous.
Yes, I mean, so, and just nothing, just a letter saying this is what you do.
Yes, this is exactly what I've got in my hand. It just turned up. Cannot believe it. Cashing your social security / pension payments at the post office. You know. And it says you are getting your state pension by government cheque, which you cash at your nominated post office. Well, I nominated Derby, and now I'm being told I can't.
So what would it take for you to get into... What organisation would you have to do to get to Ramsey?
Ramsey? Well... Have you tried to get a bus out, Derby?
Not lately,
you have
no.
To dial a bus. No. You have to dial a ride, pretty much. I think there's two buses you get, and then the rest you've got to phone up like a taxi service and pre-book. You know. Plus, I don't travel very well. I get beaten up. I've got, like I said, osteoarthritis, and it kills me to get on a bus. Literally. I can't move for 2 days after travelling on a bus.
What would you like to happen, David?
I would like to be able to go next door to my post office and get me pension.
Have you asked them? If you asked the Derby post office, what's the problem?
Well, I'm going to go in there in a minute. Like, I'm going to go around there. It's not them. That's the problem.
Yeah, I was saying.
It's the Treasury.
They're left out of this because obviously, if you were doing stuff like that, they'd get a royalty or something from doing the service. So presumably, I just wonder why they do that. I mean, Derby is not on the doorstep of Ramsey, particularly if you use public transport.
Yes, it's 8 miles away. You know, it's a drag. I mean, what am I meant to do? You know, is my question. I'm going to phone up the Treasury after this and give them a piece of my mind, because what they're doing, literally, is trying to force you into opening a bank account. They don't want you having cash. They want you to have credit.
Okay.
All
right. Well, let us know what happens, will you? And particularly what the answer is from the Derby post office. Thanks, David. Good to hear from you. We appreciate it. And osteoarthritis is no joke. It is no joke. And as David said, it can beat you up. The cash collection service, My Card's being withdrawn. That's the middle of all this. The service that lets people collect pensions and benefits in cash from the post office will no longer be available from it was December last year, wasn't it? With payments instead being made directly into bank accounts. If someone can't receive direct payments, Treasury will arrange a payment exception service to help. That's the situation. Is that this affecting you as well? You just wonder why Derby Post Office isn't good enough to cash a cheque. David was just asking about the sports centre, this multi-million pound investment in the NSC. It's been announced as part of this year's Manx budget. Obviously, there's an eye on the Island Games. So our sports editor, Rob Pritchard, has been looking at it. Rob?
Under Treasury Minister Chris Thomas's proposals, more than £2.6 million will be spent over the next 3 years to upgrade and modernise facilities there. Announced as part of this year's Manx budget, this will include £900,000 to be invested in the centre's athletics track, £850,000 to be spent on the all-weather pitch at the Bowl, and £880,000 on mechanical and electrical systems in the main building. It'll be part of preparations for the Isle of Man hosting the International Ireland Games in 2029. The last time the event was held here was in 2001. Treasury adds the improvements will also promote greater year-round use by the local community. Education, Sport and Culture Minister Daphne Kane is welcoming the latest budget proposals for her department, but also warns they'll have to remain prudent when it comes to spending.
Whilst it has been another year of focus on financial efficiency, my department welcomes the budget. Across education, sport and culture, our work touches every community and every generation. These sectors shape opportunity, strengthen well-being and help define who we are. I would like to start by offering my thanks to all the dedicated staff within my department for their hard work and efforts in the last financial year. We now look forward to the year ahead and the exciting opportunities that this will bring. Progress continues to be made on actions within the department's plan, and this year's budget will see the progress continue. Alongside our core focus on education, my department recognises that continued investment in sport, youth, culture, music and arts is essential for the well-being of our island. The department has released a new 10-year sports strategy, which will build on the strong foundations of the last decade, ensuring that we continue to enrich lives and strengthen communities through accessible opportunities to participate in sport and physical activity for everyone, whether that be in childhood or later in life. We continue to widen access to sport, culture and the arts across the island. Whilst I've taken the opportunity to outline a small part of the progress my department continues to make, I believe it would be irresponsible not to acknowledge that we must continue to be financially efficient. As such, my department will continue to prioritise funds and allocate resources to ensure it delivers its statutory service, while also seeking opportunities to generate additional income where possible. This budget enabled us to deliver on our commitment to provide and support our high quality services, providing wider opportunities that enable the community we serve to thrive.
That's Daphne Kane, MHK. So we got 2.6 million on the NSC and surrounding areas to be spent in time for the 2029 Ireland Games. £900,000 on the athletics facilities, £850,000 for a new all-weather pitch at the bowl, and £880,000 for mechanical and electrical systems. Does that include the flumes? Are they working now? And is everything working in the swimming pool? Anyway, £2.6 million, that is. How do you feel about that? The NSC, I remember, I think I might have mentioned this before, and I always do because I was so proud of it at the time. In 2001, do you remember we did the Game Station? Max Radio did a whole separate radio station for the whole week, the Game Station, we called it, in 2001. And I have to say, the other journalists from the other jurisdictions, from Jersey and Guernsey, their jaws hit the floor when they saw the NSC and the athletics track. They were mightily impressed by it. So it is looking a little frayed around the edges, but good. What do you think about that? And one of the main headlines from the unveiling of this year's budget was the amount that's been allocated for healthcare. Now, we broached this subject yesterday. There was quite a bit of comment. Max Care's total budget for this financial year, £404.2 million. Up from £361.8 million last year. The funding increase means that for the first time since its inception, Manx Care will be funded in line with the recommendations from the 2019 Sir Jonathan Michael report. Manx Care's chief exec is Teresa Cope.
So we have a long-term commitment to really build our out-of-hospital capacity and to support people to remain independent in their own homes, access good level of out-of-hospital services, and so to support people in their own communities. That has been a long-term commitment, and this budget allows us to continue that level of progress. So additional capacity with primary care appointments in terms of dentistry and GP provision and those practitioners that support delivery in primary care. Support for our carers, that's incredibly important. The ability to maintain our air bridge and our connectivity with England. So the helicopter emergency service is now funded within our baseline. It wasn't funded in our baseline in last year. So for that to be recognised and in our position from the outset of the financial year is incredibly important. We're also able to see an increase in nursing and residential care beds for those patients whose care is funded by Social Security. That will enable us to be able to look at discharging patients from hospital to the appropriate environments sooner. We are also able to move forward with our ambition to deliver NICE approved technology and drugs. And that's something we have been doing year on year. We haven't always been able to fully commit to the full rollout of that. And this year is no different, but it allows us to continue making real progress in treating patients with NICE-approved drugs and treatments. It allows us to continue to make investments around safeguarding and in social work capacity, really, really important areas. So there are, we can't do everything, and we submitted lots more business cases, but it allows us to make some real targeted investment.
£404.2 million. Teresa Cope, the Manxco chief exec, says it's a welcome uplift. What do you think about this? Oh, David's back now. David, what did Treasury say?
Oh, yeah, you're going to love this one. Basically, I was told either I've got to get to Ramsey or open a bank account that I don't want, or just suck it up. You know, that's it. I pointed out, hang on, that the post office on the Isle of Man is government run, so this is government policy to force you out of it, to force you into opening a bank account.
And
what basically,
why couldn't you pick the cash up at Jerby Post Office? What's the problem?
Well, he said you'd have to ask at the post office, so I've got to go around to the post office in a minute and find out. They don't have a problem. Last time I cashed my check, he said, no, they don't have a problem with it. It's government that's forcing them to do what they're doing.
Right, okay. All right.
So if the government seems to be determined, or Treasury does, to get everyone on digital payout, you know, on plastic, and it takes away your right to cash, you know.
Right, well, I mean,
just want...
yeah, when you get time, as I say, just let us know what the Jerby Post Office says about this, because it just doesn't seem common sense.
No, it isn't common sense. It's lunacy. Whoever's up there wants a head slap, and they seriously do. You know, it's a joke, this government, and thank God there's an election coming up, because I tell you what, these clowns won't get voted in again. That's it.
All right. David, we appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that, and thanks for telling us that that tale just seems weird, doesn't it? Why, if you've got a post office right next door, why wouldn't you use that? As a backbencher, says Terry Kay, Mr. Thomas was always talking about keeping our lifelines open, and nowhere in his budget did he mention the large expense of dredging Douglas Harbour. Has it been dredged lately? With regard to MHK's voting against the budget, it's ironic that any MHK associated with this administration can talk of financial constraint when their recent history has been a catalogue of departmental financial crises and project overspends. If this administration had been more prudent and disciplined, the Manx taxpayer wouldn't currently be at the sharp end of the highest government tax take of any employed generation. This correspondent says, it's also rather rich that any individual on an £81,000 publicly funded salary, 2.5 times the median income, would object to a tax policy aimed at removing the lowest paid in the workforce from paying tax at the highest level. Personally, I'll take my chances with my extra £39 rather than hand over any more money to be wasted. That's Mr. NT. And Tony in Oncombe said, do you think there's anybody in the Isle of Man who's daft enough to believe that the Treasury Minister actually wrote the budget and not the Chief Civil Servants? Well, we can ask him next Monday. He'll be here next Tuesday. Next Monday, we'll see what Chris Thomas has to say. Derek's with us now. Hi, Derek.
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Well, fine. What about you? So you're not out and about today, are you?
Oh, I am. I'm getting wet as an otter's pocket out here, Andy. It is freezing. Okay. The hands are nearly falling off, but I'm used to the cold weather being a farmer. How are you keeping? Are you all right?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, I've got the ploughing championships on the 21st of February out in St. John's here, and I just wanted to raise a bit of awareness about it. Doesn't seem to be much notice taken by anyone. Okay, no, it's a big championship.
So that's on Saturday, yeah, in the St. John's?
Yes, Saturday the 21st of February, yes, out in St. John's here. Okay. So I've had my blade sharpened, I'm ready to go.
Right, OK. Any favourites there? Do you know who's going to win?
Me, I'm the favourite. I'm always the favourite.
Right. Okay.
Yes, the Crebbin family, they'll be coming for me. But yes, I'll be there. I'll be there. Are you getting down yourself, Andy?
On Saturday, what time does it start?
It starts from 11 o'clock in the morning. So, but goes on all day.
And what's the weather looking like?
Do you know what? I haven't even checked. Let me have a look. It doesn't matter. We go out in all weathers, Andy.
Is the field dry?
Well, see, we've had a lot of rain recently, so there's a bit of damp patches around there, but she'll be good. The tractor's good to go.
All right, OK. So this Saturday, 21st, 11 a.m. in St. John's, the ploughing championships. Right, OK.
Yes.
All right.
See you there, Andy.
All right, Derek, you put the kettle on for me, Derek. Thanks for calling today. And no doubt Simon Clark will be there as well. Here's a message that says, just an observation. This is John Ramsey, who says, just an observation. The vast majority of people against wind farms are other 50. Do you mean over 50? Anyway, if they were to step back and look at the long-term benefits, they'd be impressed. They just need to think of the future generations and our environment, says John, that is. People who work have to have a bank account for salaries to be paid in, as I doubt any legitimate employers pay cash very much nowadays. Does anybody pay cash nowadays for employers? Therefore, why should people receiving benefits from the government think they should be exempt from having a bank account? If they were working legitimately for a living, they would have to have a bank account, says D. Listening today from Jerby with interest, as I have the same diagnosis now too, osteoarthritis, yet another example of the government department ignoring the fact that they work for and are taking a wage from us, says Graham. Sorry I can't call in, says Andy. I'm at a meeting, but how much is in reserves to back the notes and the coins in circulation? If the government doesn't want people to be using cash, then logically the plan must be to release part if the reserves backing the notes and coin issue to fund their increasing structural deficit. What does the other listener think of this? What do you think of that? Is this a plan? How much is in reserves to back the notes and the coins in circulation? We'll take a look. Also, we had a call in yesterday saying, will the budget affect booze and fags? No, because basically we mirror what happens in the UK. So when a fuel duty is put up, an alcohol duty and tobacco duty is put up, we tend to mirror that over there. So our budget doesn't really go into that.
Your savings grow with a fixed term deposit from Isle of Man Bank. Isle of Man Bank are offering a fixed rate of 3.8% AER gross PA fixed until 27th of February 2026 when depositing a minimum of £5,000 for a 12-month term. To open a fixed term deposit, you must have a cash management account, be 16 years or over and resident in the Isle of Man. For full details on all our terms, conditions and risk associated to our products, and to find out more and apply, please visit our website iombank.com. No withdrawals or early closure allowed before maturity. Interest is paid at maturity. Alternative terms and rates available on our website. The Royal Bank of Scotland International trading as Isle of Man Bank is licensed by the IOM FSA in respect of deposit taking. Isle of Man Bank is a participant in the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme, as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010. Conditions apply.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With microsuction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic. Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
The Treasury Minister has unveiled the Manx budget for 2026. But what does this year's budget mean for you? There's full analysis and reaction now at manxradio.com. Tomorrow morning at 10 past 8, Chris Thomas will join us on Manx Radio Breakfast for an extended interview. And on Friday evening at 5, join us for our special budget programme when our studio audience will put their questions direct to the Treasury Minister.
Manx Radio's budget coverage, brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Half past 12 it is. Some mention's been made of the population going to 100,000. Increasing the population to 100,000 has never been a formal government ambition, according to Alfred Cannon, MHK. The Chief Minister says he was responding to a question in Tynwald about the potential impact such growth would have on public services. In the 2024-25 Ireland plan, his foreword referred to a bold vision for the next 10 to 15 years, including 5,000 new jobs, a £10 billion economy and a target population of 100,000. This was 2025 Ireland plan. Mr. Cannon says that he needed to provide more clarity around the number.
That figure is attached to the 5,000 new jobs figure. Okay, that is the clarity. And indeed, the first time the figure was actually referenced, higher numbers have been referenced, was certainly in the strategic plan in 2016, which referenced a projected population of over 93,500.
Well, that was the Chief Minister. So is that clear? Everybody happy? Tony B is with us now. Hi, Tony. I'll find Tony B in just a few moments' time. The Chief Constable has warned that the Isle of Man's facing a mass exodus. His own words, a mass exodus of experienced police officers in the next few years. Now, Russ Foster's on a week tomorrow, Thursday 26th. The Chief Constable will be... He was giving evidence to the Tynwald Constitutional, Legal Affairs and Justice Committee. He said every effort was being made to improve recruitment. A mass exodus. That included making the pay more attractive. Here's the Chief Constable.
Officers now start on circa £35,000 a year. After 3 years, that increases to just over £50,000 a year. So it's much more attractive to people who are in another occupation, another career, mid-service, to come to policing. Certainly my contract comes to an end the 31st of March 2028. It's around 2 years left, been here 3 years. The same is true around Steve, who can go in September this year. I've got another superintendent who can go September the year after, and a number of chief inspectors. I think 28-29 we will see a mass exodus from the Isle of Man Constabulary. We're talking around 34 police officers. Hence why I mentioned earlier around that over-recruitment and that even that glide path down to our funded strength. What comes with that is the experience, the training. Mm. Steve's a qualified senior investigating officer, takes responsibility for the oversight of serious crime, including murders. And we leverage that from the organisation. We're rapidly trying to get people through training courses, which come at a cost. That's another issue, because we used to attract the same benefits that Home Office forces do with the College of Policing, so we got them for the same price. They've now decided that no longer are they going to give us that discount. We're having to pay the full effect costs, which has implications for my training budget.
How about that? What do you think of that? A mass exodus of police, experienced police. I was talking about Steve Maddox, I believe, there. Experienced police officers over the next few years. Well, Russ Foster's on a week tomorrow. We'll certainly talk about that. Anything else you want to bring up with... I mean, of course, we won't talk about any live investigations or personal matters, but in broad principles, we'll talk about how he sees... and, well, also the fact that Jerby's full. but he did talk, say that that was going to happen, didn't he? And Joe's on now. Hi, Joe.
Hello there. Wilf was talking about the swing bridge the other day, and somebody mentioned it.
Yeah.
The actual clearance, visually, is 700 mil above the walkway inside the chains. It might be more, but you go along to the end where Wilf's got his boat parked, and you've actually got to go up an incline onto the bridge parapet, and again to the left to the bridge itself. It's up again, so it's quite well above the waterway.
Yeah.
What I would also like to mention, I don't agree with this angled parking on the quayside. There's vehicles parked there, Chelsea tractors people call them, big cars. They're far too big, and I would like to see inline parking. Well, Ramsey commissioners are very much against this. I don't know why. It's quite busy on a Saturday.
Yeah.
From Monday to Friday, I walk down there every day, twice a day, and there's never less than 23 spaces parked on the angle parking.
Right. When you say inline parking, what does that mean? Is that parallel parking? What is that? Or because at the
parallel
moment,
parking, yes. Parallel parking. Yeah.
So would you get more vehicles in if it was parallel parking than the?
No. You'd get less vehicles. As I say, they're saying they're going to lose 50 parking spaces.
Yeah.
When you weigh up, we've got ShopRite car park. We've got Market Square, which is always available these days because there's no market on there. There's a little car park where the Plaza Cinema used to be.
Yeah.
There's parking everywhere in Ramsey. So make it sensible on the quayside and do away with this angled parking, because some of these Chelsea tractors, how on earth they've never been hit by Mazaron's vehicles or any other wagon going down there, I do not know.
What do you think also of this four-foot wall idea?
No, Wolf's right there. It doesn't need to be 4 foot. If it was 2 foot high, somebody said the other day, this is totally illegal to have it 2 foot high. All they've got to do is drill a hole in it, put a stanchion up and put the chains back on, and that will make it 4 foot, and you've got the 2 foot between the chains then as a vision.
Right, okay.
2 foot's quite high enough. In the last big tide, I was on my boat for 3 hours that day, fending off, because it's only a tidal surge that comes up every 20 minutes and then goes down again below the quay wall. This tidal surge, it's caused by an astronomical tide and a very low pressure. And last time it happened, roughly 10 years ago, I can't remember, and the barometer pressure in Shannon to the west of Ireland was 927 millibars, which is very low. And that caused a tidal surge right up the Irish Sea. And it was marvellous to watch it coming in. I remember Ivor Crowe, I think this was probably 20 years ago, he was in the toilets at the top of the quayside, and the water was nowhere near the top of the quay. And he come out, and this tidal surge had come up, and he had to wait 10 minutes until it dispersed again, you know. So, anyway, that's my...
You don't drive a Chelsea tractor, do you?
Oh, no.
All right, checking. All right, Joe, good to hear from you. All right, thanks for calling today. I think we found Tony now. Thank you, Joe. Tony, you there?
I am here, yes.
Jolly good.
I thought you didn't want to talk to me.
I thought you hung up on me. Always want to talk to you, Tony. Yeah. Always.
Well, I ended up with listening to a policeman telling me they're all leaving.
Okay. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Right, I think it's three things now. Right, Ramsey, I agree 100%. We don't need a 4 foot wall, whatever the DOI says. The DRI don't know what they're doing, and they shouldn't be allowed to do things in Ramsey unless the Ramsey population like it. And that's one of the key issues, I think, if you look across the board. None of the departments, DRI in particular, and Marie and Haywood was one of the architects of we should do this and we should do that, but none of them were listening to what the local people want. And they haven't done that for the last 5 years. And they're not going to change. So I think everybody, if they're not happy with anything, they need to get ready for the election and make sure they go and vote. Because that's the only way you're going to change anything. And I think the incumbents all need to hang their head in shame and leave.
What do you think about them taking the 52 car parking spaces away? Never mind the wall, the car park.
I think as the man just said, you put a 2-foot wall in there, which is fine, and put a stanchion or a chain wire stanchion on it, then it's fine. And my question is, if you come back to it, why are they saying it's a trip hazard if it's a 2-foot wall? You can put that 2-foot wall right next to the water. Right? Why do we have to have it in 6 feet? You don't. If you put it next to the water, there's still a chain line there, and there's still a walkway. And if you're going to trip over that and go in the arbour, then you're going to do it anyway, because there's always there's a anchoring line along there as well. So the DIY just don't know what they're doing. As usual, they're doing what they want to do, not what anybody else is saying. And that's inherent in everything the DIY does. It's we don't get a say in anything, from 20 mile an hour limits all the way through to I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that, with the likes of our Ramsey MHK, who says you have to do what I say because I'm the central government. So I just think they should all hang their head in shame and leave and not come back and stop making comments, because they're not helping matters at all. Laurie Hooper's got up the monk on because he's been kicked out and told to leave. So he's upset. So he's anything and everything that comes up, he'll disagree with. And the same thing applies to Haywood. She disagrees with everything because it's not what she wanted. It's got nothing to do with what the people want. I think people don't get a say in this. We go to local elections and we vote in people into the local elections to the councils. And then the councils are ignored when it comes to the DOI. They just don't take any notice of them.
Anyway,
in fact, they want to tell the councils what to do.
What else was on your mind?
Right, that was one. So, secondly, I think maybe you can clarify on this for me. I didn't listen to the budget because I just find everything from Treasury is a long-winded and questionable answer to anything that you ask. So my question would be, what is the tax rate now for next year?
What, income tax?
Yeah.
Well, as it was before, 10 and 21%. 10 standard rate, 21%
right.
High rate.
That's fine. Did he actually say it's going to be 21% next year? I know he's going to raise the allowance, but is it going to be 21?
No, I just think I don't know whether he actually said that, but they didn't actually say they were changing the rates.
Well, whether he said he's going to change it or not, don't you think it's something that's quite important to people to know what they expect next year to pay in taxes? Is it 21 or 22? Because we were told by the previous one that 22 was put in so they could help the health service, which was just a joke because it just ended up draining somewhere else, because I don't think it went into the health service. And then the next thing is, oh, we're going to drop it to 21. Oh, very good. But then no reiteration of that? Well, don't worry, we're going to lift your allowance levels. Well, that's fine, but if it's 22% now again, then you've eroded that allowance level again.
No, it's 21%. The high rate's
21%. Andy, I will take your word as the Treasury representative telling the truth. I won't take it from the Treasury because I don't trust them. So that's one. Two... The new Treasury Minister has said we're going to spend a load of money down at the airport. My question is, what exactly are they going to spend it on? So we've got an airport that we can't put chemicals to stop the ice, so So whenever there's ice, we will have a problem at the airport. The rest of the time, it's not allowed to run because legally there's a problem due to the air traffic controllers, I think. I don't know. Because Miss Haywood kept telling us that everything was fine, and then a nice air traffic controller came on and corrected her, and we've not heard from her since.
Well, we don't have enough air traffic controllers. That's a fact.
Well, that's fine. Okay, then if that's the case, why are we spending money on the control tower? I mean, that control tower's big enough to put in Heathrow. It's over-engineered and it's too expensive. Oh, it's got a lovely view, I'm sure. But do we need to spend more money on the control tower? Is it on an automatic landing system? No, it didn't say it's upgrades to the control tower. And what more do we need to spend in the airport? Because if you look at the airport, it's not that busy. So I just struggle with huge amounts of money being spent in things that is not necessary. Mm-hmm. We need to stop spending on what somebody thinks they should have and start spending on what we need for the people of the Isle of Man. The people of the Isle of Man don't want to waste money. The departments do. They would like to have their little projects to be as it is. So I'm with this government, as far as I'm concerned, it's a waste of time talking to them because they don't listen. They won't change their mind. They won't listen to what's being said and say that's a good point. None of them ever say that. So we need to get actually in gear, get ready for an election next year, or this year actually, isn't it? September. Get ready for the election and make sure we all go out there and vote for somebody with sense who's listening to people and who tells the truth.
When somebody knocks on your door then in August this year or July or whenever and says they'd like your vote, what will you say to them?
Well, I'll ask them what their intentions are when they get in. I'm going to ask, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Are you going to support the government locally that they don't want to be told what to do by central government? Are you going to remove the Haywood specials and the other ones that they've been putting in that everybody puts in for their own reasons? I mean, we wasted a huge amount of money and time, whatever Dr. Allison says, we wasted a huge amount of money and time on the
assisted dying
sentence. Assisted dying. And it's still stalled in Parliament, which anybody 5 years ago could have told them that's not going to work very well, because the UK will want to put their legislation first. And that's the history. If you look at it, historically, that's what we've always done. Let the UK put it in place, have a look at it, and decide will it fit for the Isle of Man and what we need to change. But no, we have to have it because it's something that he says I should do. And I don't have a problem with the idea, but I have a problem with us being at the forefront of everything because we don't need to be. We can't afford to spend that much money, wasting that much money, when it's going to be done anyway at some stage. He'd have been better off to put a pressure group together and try and get the UK to put this legislation into place as soon as possible. He should have gone round all the other jurisdictions that are responsible back to the UK government and got them together and said, right, we're going to have a group between us, Guernsey, Jersey, all the rest of them, and we're all going to go as a delegation and say, everybody in the Isle of Man wants this, everybody in Jersey and Guernsey wants this. When are you going to do it? Instead of which, we have to try and do it here, and we spend hours and hours messing about with it. And we just wasted huge amounts of money and time. And he says there was no money spent. There must have been money spent because people were looking at drafting it.
Well, yeah, I mean, so that's money. Palpably, because it took people's time.
Correct. So, once again, it's his idea to drive somebody he's promised, I'll do that when I get into office. That's not the solution. He took completely the wrong approach to it in how he was doing it. And once again, it's because they don't seem to listen to what the Manx people want or the people who live here. They don't go around and say, right, do you as a group want this? How will we do that? Well, it's going to be very difficult. We need some base legislation. Oh, we probably need to get the UK to put that legislation in place first, and then we can follow through and see if we can do it over here. No, we don't do that. We do exactly the opposite. We'll go alone and we'll be the first jurisdiction in the UK, and wonderful. And what has it achieved? Zero. Because at the end of the day, you still haven't got the legislation in place that you need to make it work, and you haven't got the registration in place to actually get somebody to do it.
Yeah.
All the systems.
Okay.
How is it physically going to work?
Well, nobody said. I mean, Manx Care have said they're not going to do it. So, as you say, at the moment, we're left with
What we've been left with, Andy, is a piece of legislation that's stalled, and an extremely high bill for somebody's personal vendetta, or whatever you want to call it, to make himself look good. So it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
So once again, instead of doing things for the Isle of Man, he's doing things for himself.
Well, I'm sure that, remember, he's a GP. He's an honourable man. He obviously thought, and you know, we want politicians of conviction. It was a private member's bill. It's something that he wanted. And we talked about it many times on Man in Line. Many people do want the facility for assisted dying on the Isle of Man. So you could say he was answering their prayers.
I'd agree 100%, Andy, except the actual actions he took to try and achieve that were extremely, extremely not thought through. And that's been, if you listen to the man, I can't remember who it is that keeps coming on and telling you about the law,
yeah.
You'd have to change the law, because this is not assisted dying, this is killing somebody legally, right? So he had all that. Did he listen? No. He should have got that lawyer in, and it's an ex-lawyer, I think, isn't it? I can't remember his name. But anyway, he should have got him in, talked to him, and said, OK, how's the best way of going about this, then? But no, we don't do that. We will sit as the little quango in the legislative building, and we'll make this law, and it'll all be fine and dandy. Because they don't... He's a doctor. He's not... Well, what's he doing as a Treasury Minister? He doesn't know anything about finance. Because it was fairly obvious whenever he was asked a question, he didn't even know what the answer was. So anyway, I'm not moaning, but I'm saying that this government, from start to finish, for the last 5 years, you can list out all the things that were done wrong. But you haven't got many on the list that were done right.
Okay. All right. Tony?
And particularly DOI needs to be broken up. It's far too big and it has far too much control.
All right. Thanks for calling
Andy,
me today.
You have a good time. And the good news is the weather's getting better, whatever the Met Office say.
Thanks for calling today. Take minutes before. The weather's always good in Ramsey. Any thoughts on this? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And I got a message in from Sally, who just said, I agree with Tony. The fact is, too much parliamentary time, too much time in Timwell was taken up with the assisted dying legislation, taking the bishop's vote away and the 20 miles per hour. None of which have happened. Well, the bishop's vote, I think, has happened, and we don't quite know how that's going to end up. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding that. Government revenue spending for 2027, by the way, is going to be $1.47 billion. So $1.47 billion, of which $404.2 million, so that's a little under a half, is going to be for Manx Care. $1.47 billion for every person on the Isle of Man, £18,280. Any thoughts on this? Text, email, call, WhatsApp.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop.
My everyday used to feel fine. Now it feels elevated.
Better decisions, better outcomes.
Support when I need it, freedom when I don't.
With no monthly fee, dedicated relationship management and a world of global benefits, HSBC Premier is designed to elevate your everyday. HSBC, opening up a world of opportunity.
See website for details. T's and C's apply. In the Isle of Man, HSBC Bank PLC is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority and is a participant in the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme, as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
For a trustworthy removal and storage solution, contact Dave's Removals and Storage, offering man and van removals, clearances and long or short-term storage with pickup and drop-off service. Call 258 766 or find Dave's Removals and Storage on Facebook.
Have you got your Manx Radio Gold open and closed door sign on display? If you put the sign in the entrance of your business, you could win 3 months of free advertising on Manx Radio Gold in 2026. Need a door sign? Email sales@manxradio.com. And we'll get one straight to you. And if your door sign is already up, send us a photo and we'll put your business into the prize draw. Manx Radio Gold is the perfect soundtrack for your workplace, with fewer interruptions and only the greatest hits on earth. On your smart speaker and at gold.manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Gold.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Why don't we have the legal right to use legal tender with banks? 068 says, with banks closing and services being restricted in post offices, people are having to travel further to access financial services. At the same time, we're being told to reduce emissions. How can we reduce emissions if we're forced to travel further? And Marie says, we have a 96-year-old relative in Derby who's just received the same letter about his pension checks. This 96. He doesn't drive. He has limited mobility. Having to travel to Ramsey independently is not possible, and it would remove his last bit of independence. We can only assume that smaller post offices are moving to postal-only services, and this could be the beginning of more closures. And G says, Andy, when people say somebody won't get voted back in, it's worth remembering it's not always MHKs who make these decisions. Civil servants work within government structures and can't simply be voted out. MHK's influence only goes so far. Here's Frank now. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing, mate?
Well, All right. Very well, thanks. Yeah, yourself?
Yes, I'm good today. It's not quite a good day. But listening to what you've just said now, I don't know how the Isle of Man's got a chance to survive. With all these debts they get and all this money they're spending, like, I don't know what. But what I really wanted to say was about Dr. Allenson. Now, is he a qualified doctor? Is that true?
I'm sure he's a GES. He's a GP.
He's a GP. Right. What are we short of?
GPs.
Yeah. Why the hell is he a politician? Because he wants to be in the front all the time, showing his flag, doing his little tricks on it, pushing his dying bill, trying to get through. He should not be a politician. I don't agree with it. We're short of doctors. We're not short of politicians. So why doesn't he get back to being a doctor and doing the job that he trained for, instead of messing about with the Isle of Man the way he's doing at the moment? The man should not be in the position he's in. I think it's terrible.
All right.
This is the worst government we've ever had, I think.
All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Frank. That's it for Man in Line today. Going to be back tomorrow. Another open line. Remember, on Monday, Chris Thomas is here. Treasury Minister will be on the air. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch, you can email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682 631. That's it. Thanks to producer Chris today. Back tomorrow. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.